Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics.
Before we do anything else, we should probably get to the most obvious piece of business, which is that we are joined today with a third person, and it's our friend Elspeth.
Hi.
Elspeth should be a familiar voice. You've heard her in our episode talking about bringing people into gaming, and
if you've been hanging around our Discord recently, she's been posting more.
She does more haunting than posting, but she's there.
And the reason that she's here today is because she is sort of joining our little podcast crew as the first of many people who are going to help us with this new podcast.
Yeah.
And
that they've been not hyping about for months, and it's definitely not a thing, but it is a thing. And you've been super subtle about it, and I don't think anyone knows what's going on at all.
We've been very subtle. We did talk about Protean City Comics as a podcast in the last episode.
Yes.
Like, full
yes.
on, completely blatantly,
it's
everything
true.
Good. So
we announced the release schedule. We're not really hyping anymore.
Yeah.
Yay!
So what we're doing today is, so as part of the creation of this actual play universe that we're doing, we wanted to create a city. We wanted our game to take place in a city that wasn't Halcyon City. We like the setting that Brandon Conway created is excellent. The world of Masks
so
is
good,
phenomenal. We wanted this to be a little bit more our own. It's going to actually, I think we've canonically said it's the same universe.
It's one of the same universes.
It's one of the same universes.
Because one of the things that I care about very much in comics is that the multiverse is huge and bizarre.
So if we cross over with another podcast, if we have guest heroes, they may be coming from Halcyon City, because Halcyon City is somewhere probably over a bay, I think. Is that how, like, Metropolis and Gotham are? And so we are two more cities, along with New York City, that are in this quad Metropolis area.
somewhere in
New York and Connecticut and New Jersey.
I don't think that Metropolis and Gotham exist in our world.
I think they are.
But New York City has to, because if aliens attack, it must be New York City that is destroyed. So we can't, like, take that out of the world, Abby.
Or Protean City.
Yeah.
In any case, we decided that we wanted to make our own city and have our own brand of heroes. And so James actually made a very cool hack that we are going to be playing.
Yeah. And I'm going to hopefully release the text of that game. It's not too long because it is. So it's in the form of one of the Microscope Explorer advanced. I don't know what they call them. They call them like settings.
Playsets?
It's not a playset, but it's not quite a full hack. It's just a, like, if you were trying to do this type of story, focus and do things this way. And so I created a system that does that. So let's just get to the rules and we'll get playing. This is going to be about an hour and a half long podcast. If you're listening to this on the Stop Hack and Roll feed, in the show notes, there will be the link to the Protean City Comics feed. Check out that podcast as it releases in the next couple weeks. If you are listening to this in the Protean City Comics feed, stick around. In the next week or so, we are going to be releasing character episodes and, like, how our group came together, and then eventually the first series of issues. I guess the first thing we should say is we are playing Microscope.
Yes.
And Microscope is not a super complicated game, but I think for the purposes of this, we're not going to spend too much time talking about the rules of the game.
Right. We're just going to kind of dive in and be playing.
Because the rules of the game, the things we're creating are the thing we're interested in recording, not necessarily the game. But go buy it. It's like $10 to buy the PDF.
Yeah, it's by Ben Robbins. It's an excellent game. And he retweeted us when we talked about him having written this game.
Yeah, I don't know when we will be releasing this, but go back and listen to episode 31 of Stop, Hack, and Roll.
Oh, yeah, because that actually has a little bit of extra information.
And we talk about how the game is playing.
I personally learned a lot, and I don't know anything about this game.
now you will.
And also, the other reason why we're not going to spend too much time on the rules of Microscope is because I threw most of them out when I wrote this game.
Okay.
So it's a hack.
It's a hack of Microscope, which
go figure.
Tentatively I'm calling Searchlight.
Okay.
Searchlight?
No,
signal light.
Yeah. Like the bat signal. So we have, instead of sort of creating bookended periods, so in Microscope, you kind of set your beginning and end points, and we didn't do that. We are going to go with the key generations from masks.
Yeah, we're creating these four generations so that we can see what the history of Protean City was like.
Yeah, because we already know what the phases of the creation, like, we already know what the phases of the generations are in superheroes in this universe. We just want to, and so we don't want to spend time creating them. We just want to dive into them. And those will take the place of the sort of bookended periods. We're adding a whole bunch of them. There's four. There's the gold, silver, bronze, and modern.
Right. And we might not do a whole lot with modern intentionally.
Yeah. And the modern is like, that's us.
Yeah.
That's what we haven't done yet. So nothing should really be played at modern. It's just there as a perspective.
Yeah. Cool.
And then as cards that we will play are hero and villain cards, which are kind of like, because one of the things that we're doing for this four is to create some background NPCs. Some of these characters may be alive still. Like some of the, if you're a superhero and one of your powers is...
If you kill all of the characters that we create, I'm going to be so upset because part of this is me mining for NPCs.
Well, I didn't mean like dead, like killed.
If any of them, like, make it.
If they're a gold generation hero, they're going to be pretty old.
Yeah, yeah.
They'd have to have some sort of de-aging power.
The gold generation is still potentially around.
Yeah.
They're just pretty much retired.
Do you want to give an age or a year range for each of these? Because I found that super helpful.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this would, bronze generation would be like our parents.
Yeah, basically the modern generation are the ones.
Or are they younger than our parents?
I thought they were kind of representative of, like, I thought the gold generation was like the forgotten generation, like our grandparents. The silver generation was like the baby boomers. The bronze was like the Generation X. And then the modern was like the millennials.
That's pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much right.
That's cool.
The gold generation is very much like Captain America style people. People that, you know, they were fighting mooks or they were fighting in wars. And they kind of invented the idea of superheroics. They tend to be really low power characters.
And therefore, they were probably fighting things that were less villain-like in terms of modern villains.
Yeah, like, there was a lot of...
Villainy hadn't advanced.
Yeah, there was like a lot of mooks, you know? Like, the generations really tie in really well to publication histories of comics. And so if you look at the gold generation, you're looking at things like The Spirit.
Yeah, and that's and so the Masks playbook says, the Masks game book says... that the gold generation is like from the 20s to the 40s.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so you have heroes that just put on a mask in order to do things, like maybe Dick Tracy, maybe horse riding guy, the Lone Ranger.
I thought you were a chicken. I used like flapping his arms like a chicken. No, I was riding a horse,
but I didn't want to like knock things down. Like, you know, there are heroes that put on a mask because they wanted to have a regular life, not because they were super heroic.
Got it.
And they're like I talked about Watchmen. They're the first generation of Watchmen. Like they're the people who don't have powers, but
yeah, they're just people that stepped up.
Yeah.
The Silver Generation, you're now starting to hit kind of a power boom. This is when you get Superman.
Yeah, that's the 50s
Got
and
it.
60s.
Understood.
Exactly. And things aren't complicated. We're here, we're fighting villains because it's the right thing to do. Truth,
right.
Justice, in the American way.
Because good guys are good and bad guys are bad.
Exactly. You don't need to have complication there. We know we're doing good. Then comes the Bronze Generation. The Bronze Generation is, think 90s comics. You've got a lot of, like, pouches and guns.
Oh, and pouches.
Yeah, like when you're talking
like fanny packs.
I need to send you this.
You need to see.
Are you not familiar with Rob Liefeld?
No.
Okay.
So, you guys can fire me. It's
somebody,
fine.
We're going to include a picture of a Rob Liefeldian character.
Rob Liefeld was this guy who drew four comics forever.
Look
at
this.
All of his characters are like,
this is Captain America. By Rob Liefeld. His chest is
distended,
just extraordinarily distended. But what
the
Rob
man,
Liefeld
the man
is
can't
most,
draw feet.
Yeah,
at
he
all.
Can't draw feet, so he just doesn't.
Everybody just has like pointy toes, and they're hovering, or they don't have feet; they're blocked.
Good.
Everybody has enormous thigh pouches.
Is this on purpose?
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Here,
oh.
Possibly my favorite Rob Liefeld drawing character is Warchild, who is Whoa. The '90s. He is the bronzest of the bronze generation.
The amount of crotch wrinkles this man has.
So many crotch wrinkles just pointed there.
It's just got to be overwhelming.
Can you try to count the pouches, or does your mind just give up too quickly? All that is a little to the side, but the core thing from the bronze generation.
We're really good at staying on topic.
Yeah. The core thing of the bronze generation is that it's grittier and darker because now we've started to realize that things are bad. And so in Masks, there is like a big seminal event that shows to the heroes, hey, we can't just keep putting people back into prison. We need to raise the stakes. And so the bronze generation is grittier heroes. When you're looking at that, you are thinking of, you know, things like Cable, things like things that Rob Liefeld drew. Yeah. The Punisher, I think, is an ideal demonstration of the bronze generation.
Isn't it also a little bit that like the gold generation was fighting Nazis to put them in jail or to stop them? And the silver generation had like the huge battles of good and evil, but the bronze generation is the first generation of superheroes that sort of really kills people.
Yeah, oftentimes the bronze generation is the ones that we're going like, yes, we're going to kill people because if you're not Batman, but if you are, if you are Batman's follow-up, Azazel, and you have taken over the mantle of Batman and Batman has been putting people into Arkham over and over and over again, you go, you know what? I'm done. Yeah. I'm just going to start killing these guys because that way they don't come back.
Which leads to a lot more emotional turmoil and good and evil getting blurred and characters getting more complex.
The Bronze Generation is the generation of the anti-heroes.
Gotcha.
And the Bronze Generation is still very much still active.
Yeah.
Anyone in Bronze Generation who hasn't been killed is still active for the most part.
I think if I remember correctly, also Masks explicitly says that the Silver Generation guys were the ones who sort of like participated in the government thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
and the Bronze Generation doesn't really do that.
Right, exactly. Like the Silver Generation, the mayor has a phone on his desk that directly calls Spider-Man.
Yeah.
No, not Spider-Man. I'm sorry. That directly calls Superman and lets him know that something is going on.
Mm-hmm.
By Bronze Generation, we're going, like, can we trust these people?
Little rogue-y.
Is it dangerous? And like Wolverine is a terrible example because he is older than anybody else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But he is pretty prototypical Bronze Generation. He's powerful. He has abilities, and he will kill the enemy.
Yeah.
And then there's us.
Yeah.
We're the modern generation.
Millennials.
We're the millennials coming in and just ruining stuff. One of my favorite lines in all of Masks is that the names are described as meme worthy. And so we're coming in and we grew up on this whole superhero thing. We know that this stuff exists. We are used to the governmental organizations coming in. We're used to a city that rebuilds itself in a week.
Yeah.
Because aliens came through and they need to fix it in a week.
Mm.
So this one, we're really looking at a lot of stuff with how we are finding our place as teenagers in a world that fears and hates us and also expects us to live up to a wonderful thing shown before. So are we going to go silver? Are we going to go gold? Are we going to go bronze? What's it going to be?
Yeah. So the other thing that this Signalite game that I've sort of, it's not a game, it's a play. It's a play set. I forget what they call it. They call them alternative
Exploders.
It's based off of in Microscope Explorer.
Can't take you anywhere.
In Microscope Explorer, they list out a couple alternative play styles, and I based it heavily off of that, used all of their form and language for how they describe how the game has changed. And so it's just like a different way of playing. And it's specifically focusing on creating things that will be useful to Brandon or whoever is GMing in
to
this universe
me
we're playing.
And the two of you as we are GMing in this universe. So it's really focusing in on figuring things out in the generations that we can draw upon from for the game.
So where Microscope has periods, events, and scenes.
Yeah.
We sort of stripped away the periods because we placed them already. And we're not really interested in role playing right now because we're gonna be doing that eventually. So I replaced events and scenes with different things.
Okay.
And they kind of nest and they kind of fit in differently. I created things sort of taking the place of events.
Okay.
things that last for a little while. We have organizations and plots. And organizations are kind of your Aegis from Masks, or your Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., yeah, or your whatever, Justice League kind of, right, thing.
Fantastic Four.
And those are good guy organizations, bad guy organizations, government agents, whatever.
You mean the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants would, yeah, be a good example?
Yeah, and they will maybe last.
My eyes, you can't see it.
We'll place the card in the timeline where they begin, but okay, we can also maybe tear off a piece of it and mark off somewhere where we think it's ended, if it has ended, or if we want to have a definitive end point.
Yeah, I feel like it's useful to keep those organizations going. Yeah. Because, I mean, the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants was started in the 70s plot lines, yeah, and still comes up today.
And plots are kind of explicitly things by bad guys. Mm-hmm. They're the big evil plots, the, okay, season long, like if it was a TV show, the season long things that they're trying to do. They're trying to infiltrate the government. They're trying to take over S.H.I.E.L.D. They're trying to whatever.
Steal Penelope, okay, Pit Stop.
So is it an arc?
Yes.
So is it like the Dark Phoenix storyline, yeah, or is it but separate from that?
I mean, that could be, I had actually thought of it more like evil plot and not, okay, like story plot.
Okay.
But it could be larger plots. It could be like, it can be story plots if we want to, okay, do that. The thing that sort of nests under plots are capers. And I had thought about it as being like, if the goal of the villain's plot is to build the giant microscope in space that focuses the sun's light and burns the city of, right, Gotham, then all of the things that he does to do that, or she does to do that, are capers, which are sort of the, like, rob the bank, rob the diamond factory, okay, steal a space shuttle.
Could those capers also be used for, like, big climactic fights?
Yes. Okay. Because the capers are sort of the thing that are going to most closely replace scenes.
Okay.
They are the definitive events where we're saying, in this time, in this place, these heroes and these villains all showed up and they fought each other.
Cool.
Got it.
And here's why and here's what. So plots, we can kind of just, we can fix it as we go.
We'll play. Yeah.
And then just heroes and villains are sort of other event-like things.
Yeah.
That sort of sit on the same level as capers, and they are just, when do bad guys and good guys come on the scene? And,
great,
then we can, I oriented them this way. I think Elizabeth has been taking some pictures, so I'll show you. They're oriented this way so that we can have their title at the top, and, yeah, if you want to write some stuff about their superpowers,
yeah,
and then down at the bottom we can record if they're involved in an organization.
Perfect. And we could also put on there, like, if a character has, like, a heel turn or a face turn.
I'm assuming that you, the listener, will know this because you went and purchased a microscope, but in case you didn't, we'll
then
take
turn it off now.
We'll take turns being the lens, which is kind of the person who focuses with the path through,
okay,
the timeline, because we're going to take a bunch of paths through the timeline, and the lens kind of helps focus what the path through the timeline is. And so the lens will say, hey, this time let's focus on organizations and the things that organizations do, or this time let's focus on true evil,
okay,
or this time let's focus on, like, hope, or, okay, something like that. And then everything that we place will sort of be organized, or is supposed to be sort of influenced by that lens.
Okay, cool.
And the only other sort of thing that that will be relevant is that the lens person, they go first, they pick two things, they get to place down two nested things. It's supposed to be like a plot and a caper, or, okay, a villain and their plot, or organization and the hero that started it.
Great.
They're supposed to be related. And then we will all go through, and then the person who is the lens goes again, and then again plays two things.
Cool.
So when you're the lens, you play a lot of the things, and then, but we'll all rotate. And in a typical game of Microscope, you go through once, I think. We can do that and see where we are, and then keep going if we want to. I think that'll go pretty fast.
Yeah.
Probably. Because Brandon has like 8 ideas already. Yeah.
Well, I have admittedly been writing a bunch of plot line ideas.
And we can also just say, like, hey, let's create some heroes, let's create some villains, and,
yeah,
then, like, your focus as the lens can be like, let's just create
let's
characters.
Just make some things.
Let's
cool.
do that. Mm-hmm. Do we want to do the palette thing? Creating a palette is part of Microscope. I don't know how much it really applies.
So here's what I would like to say. I want to run a serious Masks game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to run a woo penguin bacon goofy gonzo off the wall thing.
Yeah.
Which doesn't mean we can't have fun times. I just don't want, like, you know, the major villain to be like
a frog
barbecue chicken man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I do want to be able to lean into some of the fun, funny stuff. Like at one point, Thor was a frog.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. Like, yeah. I love that.
Well, that
I
comes up.
Yeah, I love Excalibur. I love New Mutants. I love all of those kind of wacky ones. So, yeah,
and like I explicitly like playing goofy characters.
Yeah,
like Light Show is a, is my character in the Masks game we play privately.
Yeah,
and like he might be a little bit weird for this game, but yeah, no, I also
but he's
like.
But he
I
takes
also,
himself really seriously.
That's what I like. I like characters who are goofy but take themselves seriously and are explicitly in worlds that aren't goofy.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It's we're not setting up. Gags here. We're setting up real characters and comedy will arise from it, but we're not setting up something that's kitschy. Yeah.
I would say that would be my first thing.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand of things, I also don't want to get too dark. Like the Bronze Generation should have dark events and should be kind of dark. I don't want a hero that like beats up kids, you know?
Yeah.
Like just because like there's lines that if they've passed a certain line, then I'm not going to be defining them as a hero in all likelihood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be where I would draw things.
Yeah, that works for me. And we talked a little bit about, in just part of our chats about this game so far, we've talked a little bit about the city. And I think we don't need to necessarily focus on the city this time.
Okay.
I think these can be events that have happened elsewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like organizations, maybe governmental organizations or larger organizations, these heroes may be in the city we're playing in, but they may not be in Protean City.
I think that ideally they would be set out of there though.
Mm-hmm.
So like, so that we can reasonably assume that there's a good possibility of seeing them.
But they may not at like... When a Gold Age character
goes and
created,
fights the Nazis.
They may not be in the city. They may have retired to Protean City.
Yeah.
Right. The other thing that we had talked about is establishing that Protean City is the place that people, that heroes or gifted people tend to flock.
Yeah.
So they may not originally be from here, but they may retire here or it may be easier to live there or raise children there or whatever.
Right. And I think we're going for Protean City being not like more mutant than human or anything like that. But I've kind of been using in my mind an example of sort of a sanctuary city.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you're around like people, it's easier for you to exist there comfortably.
Yeah. And actually on that same topic, but off of it, I also want our world to be a diverse one.
Definitely.
Like as a Latino comic reader, I almost don't even know how to end that sentence because it's like hey, I'm real psyched about America Chavez.
Yeah.
And Miles Morales is super freaking cool, and that's kind of where it peters out. And so I do want to have more peters out.
They both
Spider-Man.
Pointed at each other in like this super nerdy way.
But also,
I wish you guys could embrace.
Going back to the thing that we talked about at the beginning is we want this world to feel real. And like the reason we're doing this is to make it feel lived in.
Yeah.
And the world is not one color. The world is not uniform.
Right. And
also,
Marvel and DC, come on, fix this. Step it up.
They're getting better. But the other thing is the modern generation is us. And if we look back at, you know, older generations, the figureheads were always white men.
Yeah.
And we're pulling away from that, and we're showing that there are other types of heroes.
You're absolutely right. I think that's something that we want to include, and so I think we do need to be a little conscious of not defaulting to just the same looking heroes.
Absolutely. And it helps that the players that we are bringing on create pretty diverse characters as well.
And that's also helped by Masks and Magpie Games and Brendan Conway doing a phenomenal job of making sure that that's a part of the game.
Yeah,
it's
they built
super
some core assumptions that your characters are not all white.
Yeah,
which I love.
It's the first question on the character sheet is appearance, the second maybe. So it's really nice.
Yeah, so I want to be sure that all of our heroes aren't, you know, tall, muscular, white dudes with blonde hair.
Like Brandon. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want them to all be short, bald Latino dudes with glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was saying you're a tall, muscular,
blonde
haired
dude. That's exactly what I'm like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Protean heroes. I'm drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Deep voice now. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because I'm drawn by Rob Liefeld.
So do you want to be the first lens? Because you have some good ideas.
That makes sense.
One thing that I think can be an interesting lens to play with from the beginning is looking at one of the human organizations that affects superheroes.
Okay.
So like looking at something like S.H.I.E.L.D. or like the default Aegis, I was playing in my head with the idea of it being a federal body.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of has a sort of strained relationship potentially with Protean City.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So like really orders coming from down, like, you know, from all the way down, that it's very federal level.
Okay.
And I don't have a great acronym yet, but I want at some point I want to try to make a backronym of it.
Okay.
Because I love the name Falcon.
Okay.
For the organization.
Great. Okay.
Possibly starting with federal agency.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's you're getting great.
There. Right? Like, I feel like it's that's starting to get somewhere.
Legislative. I'm trying to think of L words now. We'll get there.
Yeah. So it might be that we don't know what Falcon stands for yet, but like Agent Coulson, I'm doing this backwards. Remind me, James, what I need to do. I need to write Falcon on a piece of paper, and I'm putting little dots because we're going to backronym this at some point. And then I put it under the generation that started it.
Yes.
Okay. I think that Falcon started in the Silver Generation.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Because I think that their primary focus is... I don't want to like really lean hard into the whole registration thing, but I do think that I want Falcon to be about the fact that there are powers they don't understand.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to start with there.
Okay. So now you're supposed to play a second thing. Do you want to play? I'm just making suggestions.
Yeah.
Maybe a hero who helped found it, a villain who they fought against, a specific event, a caper.
Yeah. I think I'm going to make a hero that is connected, that was connected to Falcon when it started.
Okay. But maybe isn't anymore.
I'm not sure. I mean, like, I'm not sure where it goes yet.
Okay. That's fine. Well,
but I want us to get like one of those big patriotic heroes.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's fun to have kind of the patriotic hero that a lot of the young ones look up to.
Yeah.
Kind of making Captain America, but I don't want to make directly Captain America.
Okay. Right.
General America.
General America. No.
I feel like there's a copyright issue. General in there somewhere.
Electric. That's a great character.
I'm wondering, like,
something with an eagle or like.
Oh, that's a possibility. Like playing into that same bird of prey thing.
Yeah. Birdman.
What about like. The striped eagle or something like that? Is that too lame?
Spangled eagle. Star.
The striped eagle sounds like a gold age hero, too.
Yeah.
That does really sound gold age. So maybe go gold age.
Or maybe the gold age hero is the person who becomes, like, turns in their mask and becomes
a
that
an
makes
agent.
A lot of
oh, I
sense.
Like that a lot. Yep. Okay. So.
Striped eagle.
The striped eagle. I think he is. I don't want to do the super soldier thing.
Yeah.
I want it to be pure human potential.
Yeah.
That's just, he trained and he worked and he did it. Like,
yeah.
He's
yeah, yeah.
very much like emblematic of the American dream.
I'm still working on the O-N of Falcon. I'll get there. Federal Association for the Legislation and Coordination of, and we need to come up with like a super, super analogy for the O-N.
Federal Association.
Occult Nation, Otherworldly Nations.
I thought Otherworldly.
Otherworldly might be okay.
Otherworldly Nationals?
Oh, like that it's the... That could work.
I don't know. That's kind of clumsy.
It's a little clumsy.
Yeah,
but
otherworldly
like,
might work, or like outside.
Natural.
We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Though. We'll get there.
We're
but
that, there.
That's sounding awesome so far. So yeah, so I think that so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to introduce the Striped Eagle.
Yeah.
Great.
Should I be writing any sort of like...
If you want to say explicitly that he or she founded the Falcon or agency, I think that's probably good.
Let's do that. And I think I'm going to make the Striped Eagle female. I think she goes on to found
Falcon.
And she's, I guess we'll figure out if she's still alive later, maybe. So now my turn is done, and now one of you adds something related to Falcon in some way.
Yeah. I'm going to create a hero. I wanted to do an early Bronze Age hero.
Okay.
Who is like the first hero who really disagreed openly with Falcon.
Okay.
That there were Silver Age heroes who like participated with it and didn't participate with it, but kind of just like if they were opposed to it, they were just didn't involve themselves with it. But this character is going to be the first Bronze Age character who really like actively, like, their thing is that they don't work with Falcon, and they think that Falcon is bad. Like, not that they just don't work with Falcon, but that they think that Falcon is bad.
They actively do things in order to cause problems for Falcon.
And is Falcon, like, trying to recruit them or trying to take away their influence?
I think that Falcon is trying to organize, because so if Falcon is sort of an organ, a governmental organization that is trying to coordinate superhumans.
Yeah.
Like bronze, once you start getting into the early bronze generation, those heroes don't want to be coordinated. They want to do their own thing. Like,
I'm saying, like, what is Falcon's response to this bronze age hero?
To try to crack down.
Yeah.
And try to bring them in.
Sounds good.
I'm trying to think of a good name.
I had a second when you said they're trying to crack down that I was like, Crackdown's a great name for a bronze age
I feel like this is going to be like a life thing now. Everything we say, Brandon's going to be like, oh my God.
I can build something with that.
I have a new NPC.
Yeah. What would Crackdown be as a hero, though?
I'm not sure. Super strong.
I guess
like, that almost sounds like it would be a police officer, actually. So I'm not sure. That I don't know if that actually fits in.
Maybe
well.
He has a whip or something.
That's what I was thinking. Crack. A whip hero. Yeah.
That definitely drawn by Rob Liefeld.
So I'm going to write down Crackdown.
Cool.
I'm trying to visualize what I think this character looks like and work backwards to a normal person. Okay. Because I think that this rejection of Falcon, that this rejection of that organizational like coordination.
Yeah.
I like the idea that what Falcon does is coordinate, like with air quotes.
Okay.
But Crackdown doesn't see it as coordination. In fact, Crackdown sees it as like enslavement. Like they want to tell it's control.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is another C.
It's another C word, which is ideal.
Which is ideal. And so I want it to be a person. So like I have a vision of I think what the character looks like. And then I want to work backwards to where they were before they became a hero.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure that out. And I was trying to think about, and I like the idea of it, of them being a whip sort of focused hero.
Yeah.
I like that. I kind of almost want to go for a little bit of a Kraven the Hunter type.
Okay.
But as maybe a more of a less negative, more positive hero.
Okay.
Let's say, Crackdown was someone who had a parent. Or they had a relative in the past, however that works out, who was a gold age hero.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they saw this person working not quite with Falcon, but maybe eventually with Falcon, but going off to fight crime every day and not being with their family.
Okay.
And so that's what they are railing against. Because they feel like that the whole superheroing thing removed this person from their family.
Right, yeah.
And that they don't want to be controlled, they want to be able to stay home with their family if they want.
Right, like because if you're working with Falcon, then you're doing the crime fighting and then you're going and filling out 3 hours worth of paperwork.
Yeah, and if
it's also life consuming. It's not a job that's 9 to 5. It's your whole world revolves around the Falcon.
And if Falcon says, you need to go to this foreign country and stop this evil bad guy,
you go
and do it because they told you to.
Yeah, so
you don't get an opportunity to say no.
So Crackdown is like a neighborhood hero that cares about their space.
Friendly neighborhood Crackdown.
So who is the person in Crackdown's life?
I'm just trying to. I liked the idea of them being a police officer.
Okay.
But I don't know how I get from police officer to like Kraven the Hunter.
Okay.
So that's what I'm kind of struggling with.
Well, I don't think it's a bad idea that, you know, maybe one of his parents was under the control of Falcon or signed with Falcon and he saw it destroying his parent. He or she, did we decide about Crackdown yet?
Not yet.
Saw it destroying their parent, and there was nothing they could do about it because you can't exactly resign being a superhero.
So here's I think how it works. They see their parent or their grandparent being a superhero, and that and Falcon controlling their life, and they say, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be a hero. Maybe I have some powers." But that's not going to have be. I'm going to go through the system. I'm going to work with the police. I'm going to be in the neighborhood,
right.
And I'm going to fight crime the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work.
Okay.
and they so get then they disenfranchised, decide it's time and to they crack say, down. Well, it's time to crack down the way that, that it should work, like, but not
and
on
that
Falcon's
was definitely
terms.
Like a full paper, a full page spread,
yeah.
Where they're like, you know, like, got like crack the down. Police shirt and just like ripping it open, and there's just like
the badge,
pouches,
the badge in the gutter,
yeah, mm-hmm. pouches and rain. Scars everywhere.
Yeah. Nice,
no feet anywhere,
no feet.
No. So. Okay, so we can leave out some of the details, too. I'll work out some more information about Crackdown later, but I'm going to put Crackdown over here next to the Bronze Generation.
Are they powered? Are they explicitly powered?
I think it's kind of powered in that sort of generic, everybody's got a little bit stronger.
Okay.
They could probably fly if they were pushed.
Yeah, okay.
And or at least hover a little bit off the ground, and then they have
no feet,
and then like really like unrealistically inhumanly great with the whip.
Okay, awesome.
And I'm imagining some kind of like a not quite the who's the
Whiplash?
Not Whiplash with the electrical whips, mm-hmm. but maybe close. Like maybe it's like a taser whip or something like that.
Cool. Sounds good.
Cool. So this is as far as I got. With the Falcon.
Yeah.
And it could be horrible, but it sounds like a thing a government would say.
Okay.
Federal Association for the Legislation and Coordination of Outstanding Non-Humans.
I like that.
That is good.
I like that.
Great.
Let's change association to agency, though.
Got it.
And how locked in on legislation are you? Could it
Not
be,
at all.
Could it be logistics? For the logistics and coordination? I don't know if that's better.
I'm cool either way with it.
I wrote legislation thinking this is the controlling aspect because they're trying to pretend that it's for the hero's good, but it's actually for their own manipulation.
For the legislation and control
and coordination.
Coordination.
Outstanding non-humans.
I'm letting my Crackdown show.
This sounds like such a PC way to say mutant.
Yeah.
Outstanding non-human.
Yeah. Outstanding non-humans.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's also, and that's where the Crackdown would be like, they don't see us as humans.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot.
Right. But it's probably...
Oh, Elizabeth, that's so good.
Whoop,
yes.
Whoop. Me and my words. All right. So my turn, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this is the lens is still...
Is still Falcon. Government. So it's yeah. something okay. to do with Falcon. It can be an event that occurs with them. It can be a hero or a villain. Just something that is connected. Or it could even theoretically be like an agency or like a organization that works against
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go ahead and add a villain because we have none of those yet. And what I would like it to be is somebody sort of in the vein of Black Panther that has been negatively affected by Falcon's decisions that they feel that their either population or themselves or like it could be as close as their family were not considered when the decisions were made. So the fact that the Falcon gets to decide who's a valuable person to save and who's an asset that can be lost.
Is this a person who was already a villain when Falcon sort of came about, or is this a person who would otherwise have just stayed home?
I think this is somebody that probably had abilities but was not inclined to use them until something awful happened.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Anybody have any ideas for abilities
Names
before I get going?
Okay, well, how about this? Choose a generation.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm going to go Silver because that's when Falcon came about and probably one of like in their early involvement in how heroes were allowed to work, probably they were making sloppier decisions because it's new, you know, there's less heroes for them to be working with, they have to make quick decisions and they're learning how to manage.
And also the Silver Generation is one that it seems like everything is simple, but needless to say, they were still humans and things were not simple necessarily.
Also, did we say that this is around World War II? Is this...
Gold Generation is World War II.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so this is later.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's still a lot of political... frustration in the world.
Silver Generation, I think, is the political equivalent or the superhero equivalent of World War II in that everything is clear. The bad guys are evil.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not going to say that this is per se an evil person, but they are actively against Falcon and trying to disassemble the organization.
Right.
Would you still classify them as a villain?
I mean, if they're doing villainous things, if they're doing things and hurting people and taking stuff and
I think they
like
probably are
society,
because
then,
they
absolutely
feel
they're a villain.
They feel like they were not taken into consideration. Yeah. So why should anyone else be?
Right. And like every villain is a hero in their own
story.
So
I guess he's not Black Panther because Black Panther's still
awesome.
Black
Panther's a hero, yeah.
Yeah. So he's more in the vein of...
But I got what you meant, though. But Black Panther is a character who kind of like, he was a hero in his civilization, but didn't want to, wouldn't have engaged with the world stage if it weren't for things that S.H.I.E.L.D. did.
Right.
Right. So I think I'm going to say that this hero is some sort of elemental.
Cool.
Because that's something that could, you don't necessarily need to engage with every day. You could let that just be part of your life and not say anything about it. I'm inclined to say like a water elemental or something.
Cool.
Maybe he does like whirlpools or like the villain equivalent of like a Kraken.
Okay. Riptide?
On it.
Is Riptide already a villain?
Probably.
I don't know. That's such a catchy name. I feel like it's got to be taken already.
Probably is. Let me see. Let me Google Riptide Marvel.
Can we just call this person the Kraken?
We could just call him the Kraken. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, the Kraken, and he's water, and he does like he sinks ships. So one of the things that he could really start doing is fucking with Falcon's ability to get anywhere on the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely,
because he can wreck their naval fleets.
And Protean City is a port city, just like every
superhero city. Yeah, of course. So he's
that way we can have the docks,
water, and he has been Let's even say that Falcon started affecting their ability to do trade in and out of their port.
Like they took.
I think he's part of a port town. So I want to say that he's part of a trading industry.
Great.
And his trade routes were cut off because Falcon got involved.
Falcon threw down a blockade for some reason care of some different thing.
And it like decimated the industry of his area. So I am going to go with this is a male. Who have we included already? We have a lady, striped eagle.
We can also come up with more undecided things for each of the characters later on with stuff as well.
I think that Crackdown is John Leguizamo.
Okay, so that is our first round.
Yeah.
And then do we do anything else for this first thing?
Oh, you get to go again if you want. And the game says you can do another double, but if you just want to do another single thing, and this would be a way to like go back and like close up that little storyline if you want, or just create another player that we missed.
Okay, here's you know what I want to do? I think I want to hit a quick caper plot thing. I think one of the moments of the Bronze Generation is that Crackdown, like, beat the tar out of the Striped Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
That, like the two of them, like, clashed, and, like, it was big and public, and everyone in Protean City saw it go down.
Was this while the Striped Eagle is still in costume, or has she, like, totally given up costumes in favor of sort of, like, a government suit
also
and tie?
Also, at this point, isn't she, like, an old lady if Crackdown is...
Yeah, she's like, not,
he
like...
He beat up an old lady?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rude.
He's Crackdown.
But, I mean, like, she's still, like... Well, she's been running Falcon.
Yeah.
And she still has her eagle suit, which doesn't have a lot of additional stuff. It's like, you know, it's a little bit of armor.
Mm-hmm.
And she just, like... She went out to try to get Crackdown to step down on something.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
And so she was not going to step down because these colors don't run.
Yeah.
And so like one of the big moments in the Bronze Generation is just this throwdown fight that it was like, look, heroes fighting heroes.
I'm imagining
that's what Falcon makes.
Like the steps of the Capitol building. Or
something like that. Yeah, definitely. Like right underneath a statue of Striped Eagle.
Yeah. In her prime. I'm imagining the Striped Eagle as a cross between Amanda Waller, who's sort of the do whatever it takes to get it done type, like badass lady running a government agency.
Yeah.
And Margaret Thatcher.
Like, leave it to like James.
Some iron lady who both can get out there and do things and be a powerful force on their own, but is also like government minded and can play the political game just as well as they played the super game.
And you know what I think this is? I think this was Crackdown basically saying, you know what this was? This was the moment where Crackdown and Protean City said, hey, Falcon, you're not welcome here.
Okay.
This is them becoming like a sanctuary city.
Yeah.
So is Falcon not, do they not have legislation in Protean City, or do they just,
I think they
not
don't
enforced?
Have, they don't have help from local government.
Got it.
They are a federal agency. They're able to come in.
Right.
But they don't have quite the same resources.
Yeah.
That you'd expect a federal agency to have. Yeah. And I think at first she was doing well against Crackdown.
Mm-hmm.
And then like maybe they went like fist to fist. And then Crackdown was like, I'm done with this. And she's like, whoosh.
And obviously she's
and gets
off
the
her
whip
game
out and
being an old lady.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's been behind a desk, presumably for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're definitely in that comic arc. There were a bunch of panels of her just like training in like an old fashioned gym.
Yeah.
Like just like boom, 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 boom on the things and everything like that.
The punching bags. Yeah. And I do like the image of them like in front of the steps of the Capitol building with the statue of her. And they're just like, and she's on the ground and cracked down, looking menacing. Right.
That's the cover image also. Yeah. Like everyone knew.
She's positioned over his feet. so Liefeld doesn't have to draw the feet.
And we are making this such a running joke.
It's important.
You guys are committed to this joke.
I'm committed to Rob Liefeld being a joke. Yeah.
So I got to come up with a lens. What is I'm the lens now.
Okay.
Unless you
have a focus, because I have to come up with something.
No.
So if you have a clear focus, you can go next.
I mean, the only thing that I was thinking is, and I don't even know how to say it, so maybe it's not a good time to do it, but like, are there key families or key groups of people that still have huge influence that aren't political, but have some sway? Is there a really wealthy family, or is there like a group of people that have come together vigilante style?
We can do a focus of
totally
families.
Yeah.
Yeah. We can absolutely
be like
that.
Brandon's was very specific about Falcon, but it can be broad.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I want to look at like families, whether it's a splintered or very cohesive or strong, or even if it's not an actual biological family, but it's a group of people that really cling to each other.
Great.
Yeah, so groups of some kind.
Sounds great. Awesome.
Cool.
So what do you want to...
So does that mean I have to go first?
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I actually have something if you don't want to
go ahead.
First.
Go first.
So I want to create a hero. And I'm going to backtrack
already. Name is Family
already.
Man.
Yeah. I'm going to backtrack a little bit, actually, on the Crackdown story.
Okay.
It's not that his relative was a hero. It's that there was a hero who was like... who was a gold age hero that was from the neighborhood in, I guess we're in Protean City.
Yeah.
Let's
set in Protean City as much
as possible.
That
he grew up in. And he, so time wise, would it make sense for a Bronze Generation hero being a little kid when a gold age hero was around?
Absolutely,
okay.
Yeah.
So there is a gold age hero who's like working for the government and going out and fighting the bad guys.
Yeah.
And it's Crackdown's best friend's parent.
Okay.
And so he's seeing his best friend left behind. Crackdown saw the effects of a parental superhero figure running off to fight crime. And that's the character that I'm going to create, who is the superhero figure who he also looked up to until he met the kid's son.
Yeah.
Or the hero's son, and realized there was so much loneliness and abandonment that comes along with being the family member of a hero.
Perfect.
And so the hero, that was as far as I got.
Okay.
So now I need to come up with a character. And I think it should be a hero, and it should be...
we've kind of isolated like the hardest part of masks,
which
is coming up with heroes.
But that's why we wanted to do this, though.
Yeah,
yeah.
I need a speed word. The character's gonna be not a speedster, but a golden age style speedster.
What's quick, fast,
quick, fast,
rapid,
blast, blaze, blitz. I like blitz.
Yeah, I kind of liked blitz also.
I need a color. What's a good color?
For blitz.
Yeah. But not crimson.
Blue blitz.
Bronze.
Blitz.
No, we are in
electric
bronze.
Blitz.
The electric blitz.
Ballroom
that sounds
blitz.
A little silver.
Oh, ooh, how about the dynamic blitz?
I like the dynamic blitz.
Yeah, okay. So it's going to be the dynamic blitz.
The Dynamic Blitz totally had a radio show.
Yeah, the Dynamic Blitz was a radio show host. And so that's where they were I feel a little bit...
Is that where they got their like their money to live? Is like they went out superheroed and then went home and got on the radio?
Yeah, and, like I feel like they're...
That's cool.
But like I feel like they are one of those like non... Like they're a gold age. Like people don't know the... they haven't necessarily discovered the need for masks yet. Like they're an unmasked hero. Like they just... that's where they're a hero. Like they are first... They are first a radio host,
yeah,
and they are like a community figure. They're out kissing babies and holding like taste of whatever neighborhoods, and they're out there and everyone can see them and hang out with them. And then there's like they are in the radio studio, during an earthquake.
And
there's some kind of an electrical thing and something goes wrong with the equipment because they're there. And even though it's dangerous, they're trying to keep broadcasting, even though they shouldn't be there because they know that even though they know it's dangerous, but they know it's just if it's dangerous for them to be there, it's dangerous for everyone else to be there, to be anywhere. And so they're trying to keep everyone safe, and something goes wrong with the electrical equipment because it gets, or the broadcasting equipment, and they get shocked.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Well, can I do like super powered?
They just tend to be they tend to be less powerful.
They're not the Flash speedy.
Yeah, they're just
like
Spidey speedy.
They can run a little bit faster and they're a little bit more acrobatic. And
do they
like,
have heightened senses? Can they perceive things quicker?
Maybe. And I'm just imagining a lot of like blur and electrical like effects that follow their movements.
Cool.
A lot of that story I pulled straight from this episode of 99% Invisible.
Okay.
Where there was famously a news lady in Alaska who did exactly that. She kept broadcasting during this terrible earthquake.
Okay.
That literally like the whole town broke in half, and then like one half shifted like six feet up.
God.
And she kept broadcasting while this whole thing was going on. And so her name was Jeannie Chance. And so I can't just do that, but I want to call her Jeannie something or other.
Is there like something with an earthquake, like Richter or
Jeannie Richter?
I don't know. So, Jeannie Richardson. I don't know.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
Jeannie Richardson works.
Jeannie Richardson, former radio show, like morning show host or like newscaster.
Yeah.
She's just like, it's one of those, she's just on all the time. You turn on your radio and Jeannie was on.
Perfect.
And then she gets a little bit shocked. She moves a little faster. She goes out to fight crime. And
awesome.
While still managing to somehow get back in time to be on the radio.
Yeah.
And so Crackdown is a kid. He grows up listening to her like guest broadcast baseball games and get the news and eat like every breakfast, every morning he's eating his like generic 1950s cereal and hanging out after school with his friend who has to always like do something to engage themselves because their parent is off.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Fighting crime.
I like it.
All right.
So I have two that go together. Is that okay?
Yes, that's exactly what you're supposed to do, actually.
Great. I'm playing the game. All right. I wrote it sideways.
That's fine.
Okay, so I have an organization and a hero.
Okay.
Okay. So the organization is the Protean Center for Outstanding Youths.
Ooh.
It's an equivalent of an orphanage, but it's sort of for, even if the kids, I guess an orphanage is for that as well. So if they've been abandoned or, you know, pushed out because of their ability or they no longer can stay with their family.
Yeah.
And they come to Protean City to seek refuge and acceptance and education. So this is really for all of the outcasts that come together. And I'm going to say that it was established in the Bronze Generation.
Cool.
Because I think until the Bronze Generation, many of the heroes that we're seeing are adults.
Right.
I don't think they would be as accepting of youthful supers.
Right.
So I'm going to say that they're in the Bronze Generation. And it's run by the Lunar Lens, who was a Gold Generation hero, but realizes that a lot needs to change as the world is changing.
Nice.
And we need to start including the younger supers because they're important and they're going to be able to see things and affect the change that she wants to see. So she's really a visionary, but like she, I made a pun.
I like it.
But she basically has the abilities of an owl because I have a problem and I like owls.
That works.
So she does flight and night vision, which is awful for a bunch of teenagers. They can't get away with shit. You know, so she is on top of it.
Is she silver or gold generation? Because flight is a pretty big, powerful, enormous thing.
Isn't she silver?
I said gold, but I'm happy to put her in silver. I think the thing is that she was raised in the classic hero style.
Yeah.
And she is accepting of the new style and realizes that change needs to occur. So maybe silver is better because I feel like the gold and early silver are probably less accepting of the new way.
I would think so.
So we'll put her silver. I don't quite think she's bronze.
Yeah, she sounds pretty like big time hero.
And also, if she's associated with the orphanage, then it makes sense that she's a hero who grew up while there were heroes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Nobody helped her because there weren't any organizations around to do that.
Right.
And so she said, like, now that, like, if heroes are a thing.
And I would love, like, I don't know if this is a thing, but I would love to have her be Native American because absolutely. I feel like she's going to understand, what it felt like to not be counted in a way that other people may not. So I just feel like I see this very motherly, on top of it, progressive figure.
Now, I have to do this because I feel like the gold generation isn't complete without it. I'm adding a, since our lens is family, I'm going to go ahead and put in like a mafia family.
Of course you are. I'm surprised they're not mice.
I'm sticking, if only. I'm sticking that back in the gold generation, at least to start. Like, you know, it goes through and it's the Blondi family. I looked up Italian last names and Blondi means to be fought.
Ooh. And just I was like, clear, you're not saying Blondi like the cookie or comic book.
No,
you're
Bellondi.
Bellondi.
Yeah. Meaning which is to be fought, which is so good because that's just like, you know, the authors giving a little like wink. I just like the idea of like the authors going like, we need someone for them to fight. How about the Blondie family? There we go. And then it's settled. That's there to be fought.
Yeah.
And then obviously there's no reason that family could not continue to persist into modern generations as well when we want to do a more noir episode.
Yeah.
That could be fun, like a little one-shot, one-character thing.
Yeah.
Because noir, I think, works. I mean, we could also play Noir World for it.
Yeah, I
just
think,
like, toss
I think
in
something
weird.
I think within the scope of this new podcast,
we
can feel free to kind of take some artistic liberties with what we're doing. And I like the idea of doing one-off single-player single-player episodes and also playing other games. Like you had mentioned, an Apocalypse World adult heroes game.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the name
Or we can run like a Mutants and Masterminds game.
Worlds in Peril, I think.
Back in the day, I learned how to run Mutants and Masterminds.
Yeah. So are they supers or are they not?
No, I think they might have some mutants in their family, but I think they are not like an explicitly mutant family because they're starting all the way back here in Gold Generation.
I like the idea that there may be people in the family who are super, but
so are they like the equivalent of maybe the Waynes, like very, but the mafia version?
Yeah. Like, I think that they're definitely running things behind the scenes. And you know, I could see it being an interesting thing. I think it's a very close family. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not talking like the Blossoms in Riverdale.
They close.
Are they very close? So much as like an acceptance that, so like I actually really like the idea potentially of like of some mutant family members coming along and then being like, well, yeah, you're a mutant and you're part of this family. So we're going to use you because no matter what, we're going to use you.
So it's not that they're unaccepting, but they are resourceful and manipulative.
Exactly.
Gotcha. I feel like there needs to be we haven't done a plot or a caper yet? Or what's
We've got one, Crackdown beating up Striped Eagle.
Right, okay. Is that a caper?
That's a caper.
Great.
Because it's like an event. I have a plot, but it's not my turn, so I forgot that.
Well, that's good. Then I won't feel obligated to do that. I think I'm going to add a villain.
Okay.
I'm the only one adding villains.
I've got a couple villains sitting on the sideline.
Cool. And I'm going
to... Part of this also, the reason that I'm not making as many villains is I've got a little staple of villains in my head.
Okay.
That I'm going to start introducing either here or when we hit the game.
So I want to make a villain that came out of the orphanage.
Okay.
So this is definitely a Bronze Generation, very active still person who is very resentful. Not necessarily of the orphanage, like that was okay. That was an okay experience, but the fact that he had to be in one. So he really hates normals.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Anybody have anything they want to throw out before I start figuring out? He or she really hates normals. I'm open.
Maybe it's something weird. Like maybe their power is that they've been transformed a little bit.
Oh, so not only have they been pushed out of their family, but they're also ostracized daily.
Like they can't fit in.
I liked this came up in like a game we played a while ago. Felipe's character, he had metal skin.
Yeah,
and like it evolved slowly. His skin just fell away, and he was like crept on him. Metal.
Ooh, that's cool. Yeah.
So which. Super traumatic, like plus puberty and like all that stuff. And then all of a sudden you're a metal.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that they're like titanium plated.
Great.
I'm even going to make this person a girl because that would be even worse. Like, because society is so much harsher on the appearance of women. Yeah. I mean, that's my opinion.
Does she look like shiny, bright chrome, or is it like...
No, it's like plates. It's like the equivalent of like Thing, the Thing, but metal.
Yeah.
And I won't say that she's huge like him, but I will say that like it's not attractive in any capacity.
I like
it's very utilitarian looking.
That it rusts and you have to constantly be like,
oh, that's awful.
Be polishing yourself on top of all of this. Like there's so much more upkeep to the metal skin. It's not like it's just shiny metal and you're like, oh, sweet.
I'm just going to put not cute. Because there's metal that's like slick and shiny, like, you know, but this is not that. This is not, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. It's really hard on her self-esteem.
Nice.
Which she already doesn't have. And she was a resident Pequoy.
Crackdown's like, look, Rust Bucket. And she's like, not okay.
Yeah.
Do we have a name for this?
Names are so hard.
It can't be Rust Bucket.
No, Rust Bucket. Rust Bucket is definitely something that people throw at her.
I feel like I want to name her Penny or something because like I'm thinking of like rust and copper.
I like I don't hate the like the juxtaposition of the very inhuman appearance with a very human name.
There are definitely some villains and heroes that just have names.
Actual name Penny. We can come back to that. So we'll leave her unnamed as yet. But she's definitely Bronze Generation, and I'm going to kind of put her in the middle.
Okay, she's a little bit between Bronze and Modern.
She's still very. I'm going to say she's maybe like in her late 20s. Like she's still very affected by the change that has just happened.
Yeah.
She's not quite the Modern Generation, but close. All right. Hates normals. I'm going to write that.
Does anyone object to me just playing this thing that I wrote down?
No.
Out of turn. I came up with, it's a plot. And it is going to be right here between the silver and bronze.
Okay.
And it's called, I wrote down, The Problem with Paper Routes.
Great.
And it is the...
That's a band.
It's the Belindi family. Belindi? Is that what I said?
Belindi.
Right? The Belindi family is moving in on a neighborhood of Protean City.
Okay.
They previously were not it was kind of just like a it was not a neighbor. It was maybe it was the first time that the Belindi family is trying to directly lay down some neighborhood areas and say this is our neighborhood.
This is our turf. Yeah.
And specifically the way they're doing it is they are they're sort of what's the movie with the paper boys? The musical.
Newsies?
The Newsies.
Oh my.
They're intentionally they're rounding up all of these orphan kids who are on the streets just hanging out, and they're giving them paper routes.
Okay.
But they're sort of turning them into
courier service?
A courier service, but also spies. They're kind of
Varys.
Varys is little birds. And so this is kind of because I made this a plot, but so kind of ultimately where I had envisioned this going is all of the orphans sort of starting to organize themselves a little bit and push back because they realize they're being used. And this is the event where the Lunar Lens sees these orphans, notices them there and says, like, look, they organize themselves a little bit to, like, overthrow the yoke of this crime family.
Yeah.
And if I just step in and form this orphanage and give them a little bit of help, then I can improve their life so much.
Yeah.
Cool. I like it. And now you actually are the Lens?
So I had an idea for what I wanted to be the Lens as. I need a focus. And
I need a focus on this, guys.
So I wanted to focus on moments of tension. Like if this is our story, what are the climaxes of the story? What are the points where tension built up to the point where something had to burst and have the steam be released?
Okay.
Do you want to start?
And I can start unless someone else has an idea.
No, you can go ahead.
I wanted to create an incident and I wanted to create an organization.
Okay.
And the organization is going to be the Steam Society.
Mm. Nice.
And the Steam Society is it's somewhere between bronze and silver, but it's definitely a Silver Age villain group.
Okay.
And they are just a bunch of like steampunk themed
villains. I knew it.
Villains.
I was like, please let it be steampunk. yes.
And they are just like
boilerplate.
Get out. I hate you.
And they are just, they're bad guys. They're like unequivocally bad guys. They're just, and they may invite other people to join them, but it's like there's this core group of like steampunk themed bad guys.
They know what they are.
Yeah, they know what they are.
Man, I want to be part of the Steam Society. Like, are they like Team Rocket equivalent?
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
Yes!
They know what they are. They're hamming it up. It's just what their powers are. And
hello, governor. Yeah. We're here to destroy things.
They've all got...
You're from South Jersey.
Yeah, they're all Americans who have just put on terrible British accents.
Nice. So you can look forward to me doing some terrible British accents.
Terrible British accents.
And so that's where like they are a Silver Age bad guy group. And
nice.
So maybe if those villains are still around in our modern age, or maybe they've passed it on
sure
to their steampunk themed children. and I wanted to...
I just love the idea of like steampunk villain contraptions. I'm ready for that.
I'm Gearface, and this is my child, Cogface.
Yeah.
Go on then.
And I wanted to come up with an event. What is an event of steam being released?
You oh my god.
You're so terrible, punny.
You're so bad.
So what is the incident that causes the Steam Society to form?
Jeez.
Oh my god, can it be something as literal as like the subway system, like there's a subway crash or something?
It's a summer during the Silver Generation.
Okay.
And it's the hottest summer and people are like,
oh, literal steam.
It's the hottest summer. It's a literal hot summer. It's kind of like 1968, 1969.
Okay.
It's physically, nice. It's very hot. Sorry, history. It's very hot, but it's also it's where the civil rights movement is getting really, going.
Okay, yeah, I do actually know about this.
Martin Luther King is killed. I think it's Robert Kennedy is killed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just looking bad. Like people are looking like they're not going to get the rights that they need. And they're really starting to butt heads with the government. And it's also physically hot. There's a lot of like heat power outages. Mm-hmm. So people are out in the streets. And so it's like that. So that's what I'm looking for. It's an incident where it is like, it's the hottest day of the summer. Steam needs to be released. There's tension. There's
very literal here.
Did we have an event? Okay, we had the event where with Crackdown and the Striped Eagle. And that's later on. That's where. So this is the first time that Falcon moves into
To take care of things.
To take care of things.
Yeah.
Because things are starting to fall apart because the heroes, like, everything is, it's just so hot. There's big hero fights everywhere.
Yeah.
And Falcon is trying to move in. So maybe this
are
is
they,
actually...
Are they, like, rounding people up?
They're just saying, like, these heroes off in this city, Protean City, they're not getting it done. Like,
yeah.
They're working on their own and they need to be coordinated.
Yeah.
And so they are moving in to try to, like... try to take control of and help the city.
Yeah.
Because they are ostensibly good guys.
They are, yeah. They are ostensibly, yeah.
And
they're
so
trying to help.
And they can see all of this tension between, like when you have these, and Halcyon City, so one of the things that we sort of talked about was that Halcyon City is the city that like adapted to heroes being there, but
yeah.
Protean City is the city that was built around heroes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is like part of their building themselves around heroes is that they're just like it's not unusual that there are these big fights.
Yeah.
But it still takes a toll on people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just mental chaos constantly. And so I'm just going to write like the hottest day. And the hottest day is when Falcon comes to town. And so it's just like the height of the summer. It's super hot and Falcon has like come in to try to help the heroes take down all of these villains and maybe the Steam Society has actually like they are all out there, but they're not a society yet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Falcon moving in is the tipping point that just like pushes them over the edge. And there's all the tension is released as they sort of organize into a society and start fighting back. And actually things get worse probably
right.
before they get better.
Okay. So is there a possibility that I just have this idea that a non-super runs Falcon. Like, maybe the Striped Eagle's part of the foundation of it, but mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the paper pushers and people that are kind of doing the logistics of it are not super, which is why they don't understand how best to run the organization. They use the Striped Eagle as sort of a figurehead mm-hmm. to say, like, we are working with her, she's influencing our decisions, but, like... things are getting done not in a way conducive to supers because the people running it aren't super.
She's also probably retired at this point.
Right, but at least she knows yeah. sort of what it feels like. But, you know, like, you can't run things if you don't know
yeah.
what they are, if you have no connection to it. So I would like to add somebody who maybe is not a... I guess we'll qualify them as a hero if they're working for... like, if they're running Falcon, but I want to work on the figurehead... or the sure. actual person calling the shots.
Yeah.
Sounds great.
We're past that Falcon. First organizational like structure of Falcon. The Striped Eagle has maybe retired, and so we're on to the second generation.
I feel
of
like
Falconers.
She's representative, like, she's like the... I don't want to say that the queen doesn't have any jurisdiction, but she's a
the
figure.
Cultural,
yeah, people look to her as the face of Falcon, but she's not the one actually getting to make the decisions. She doesn't have a lot of sway in how things get run.
Right.
So I want to make this person somebody who like maybe was part of Halcyon City and therefore has some sort of claim to understanding supers, but mm-hmm. really doesn't.
They were transferred from the Halcyon City area from Falcon to go take care of this new problem. They're a troubleshooter.
Yeah, but seriously, I think that this person is coming in with that idea, like, how do we harness these people and rein them in rather
cool.
than how do we use them to the advantage of society.
Maybe even coming in after Crackdown and Striped Eagle fight, that they're going like because maybe Striped Eagle was running things until they got beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the idea of a shift from the Striped Eagle who sort of went out and did some superheroing,
mm-hmm. yeah.
sees Falcon as an organization that can help coordinate, like really genuinely coordinate heroes, but maybe this person sees
it's
it
getting
as a way
away
to,
from
it's becoming
her.
More like we need to control them
yeah.
before we can focus their power.
I feel like we can come up with some crusty politician name for this person.
So it would be director something then.
Yeah.
This is likely the person who is running Falcon when our game
right
takes
now,
place.
Right now, yeah.
Absolutely. That's the goal. But I want this person to have the ulterior motives of controlling rather than supporting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's a good.
Director Virgil Lance.
Yep. That's good.
Or Virgil Marston.
I like Lance.
Lance. Okay. Yeah. Honestly, when I'm thinking about Falcon in its negative context, I'm picturing ICE. Like the like, yeah, like, you know, the situation going on right now. So not so much
the
like
thing, it's one of the things we talked about, which is the tensions of Protean City being a sort of superhero sanctuary.
So this person, and I think this is an older person that probably was involved in the running of Halcyon City in the gold and silver generations, and that's why they've been brought to run Falcon in Protean City because they have all this experience and lifetime experience. But this is somebody who is unlike the Lunar Lens. They are unwilling to accept the new change and the new way of things. They are really trying to get it back to where they are.
Which is so opposed to the Protean City sort of everything.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But
I'm picturing the older Agent Johnson from Die Hard.
I don't know.
Brings me back to Vietnam.
I know this is on a hero card. But I don't think this is a hero.
That's fine.
This is just somebody who...
I mean, like...
This is something that we can... This is also something... This game is not... Like, this version of this game is not done. And I'm realizing that, like, we can kind of have, like... I should just call them events or scenes or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, splitting up plots and capers isn't necessary. And and I'm realizing that I left out a huge opening for, like, mundane people. Like, if we wanted to make a character who, like, an NPC who was the mayor, I would...
We can't do that.
I don't know how to do that.
That's
right
okay.
Now. So this is also the first playtest of Signal Light.
And, of course, we're doing it in a way that is as public as possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we've established he's a non-super, and he's got ulterior motives to the running of Falcon.
Yeah.
So the Falcon had the best of intentions as... When it was formed by the Striped Eagle, she had really good intentions for it, but it has gotten away from her in her old age, and she's just not able to rein it in and make it do the things she wanted it to do. Or maybe she retired.
I mean, realistically, he could have the best of intentions, and Falcon probably does a lot of good. Like, there is...
I'm sure...
When people have... Like, the whole registration thing aside, if someone has superpowers, it's kind of good to... be able to control that in some way.
And that's fine, but the difference is that it's a very one making decisions for the many situation. Like he doesn't understand the recourse that his choices make. He's very on paper this works, so it should work. And he's not taking into account the humanity of it or how it's going to affect the supers or the non-supers in Protean City and outside.
Perfect. Okay.
Great.
So I have, I'm introducing a villain named Munition.
Nice.
Munition was part of a super soldier program that started its development in the Silver Generation.
Okay.
Because the government starts to go like, hey, we have these supers, they're very powerful, but they're a little unreliable. We can't know that we're always going to have... a dynamic blitz. We can't know that we're always going to have someone big and powerful to help us. And so what it is, I'm stealing a little bit from Headspace, but it was a group of super soldiers that had one consciousness. Nice. And then all of them died. Except but they still had the consciousness. So they put that consciousness into a mostly robotic kind of vat-grown body.
Okay.
Cool.
Like
and so
that.
this is something that is definitively non-human. It is.
So he's like the anti-Vision?
Kind of. Like it's made from, it's definitely, I'm picturing almost like a Frankenstein robot monster.
Okay.
So it's made from the parts. It's definitely Bronze Generation because this is mad dark. So it's like made from the parts of the squad.
Oh, zombie creation.
Like all of the best parts from each of the members.
Right.
And maybe more accurately, is just like a killing machine.
But it has a consciousness.
Yes.
Does it have any recognition of humanity or like right and wrong? And
it has, well, it has all of the consciousnesses of the squad that made it up, which means it has all of the problems and traumas and difficulties that come with being someone who is consistently being in a fighting situation.
Right.
And then all of that's compounded and all of that is kind of like shut down by different the drug cocktails that were being put into them in order to make them able to have the mental connections and all of that stuff.
Got it.
And I'm picturing like a lot of like fire.
So I have to go again.
Yes, you do.
I've gone a lot because I illegally played an event.
That's fine.
But I have a villain and it's going to be a Gold Age villain.
Cool.
Nice.
Or maybe I don't know where exactly it's going to be because but they are maybe one of the first real like villains.
Okay.
And the character is going to be called the Railman.
Can I cheat and play one after you?
I think we all can cheat.
Yeah, all of us are now at this point just kind of cheating where we want to.
And the Railman is a kind of playing into the Irish rail worker. From the Transcontinental Railway era. Okay. And has like a big hammer.
Nice.
And that's basically maybe the hammer.
That feels like a Gold Age villain though.
Yeah. It's maybe right on the line. Cause I was thinking about, if the Golden Age heroes are all like, gee golly, let's go fight some crime and fight the bad guys. The Railman comes along and he's got some light magnetic powers.
Okay.
And a big hammer. And he's maybe the first time that all of these Golden Age heroes have fought like a real villain who has powers themselves. And it's the first time where they're like, oh, shit, this is real. Like, people going to get hurt. And it's not unlike so far. We've just been like dancing around the city like the Striped Eagle and the Dynamic Blitz, like bopping around, like stopping bad guys and fighting crime families. But now we've got the Railman. He's like, he has powers and he has this big ass hammer
that
he hits people with and they hurt. Mm-hmm. And like, this is real. Like, this isn't just some game we're playing. And it's the first time that the city, like, this is like, it's for both for the city and for the heroes. This is like, it adds, there's
stakes.
Stakes. There's setting stakes and there's
the rail potential. Yeah. Stakes.
Yes. I'm just so bad with my puns. That wasn't even intentional.
That's how easy it is for you.
I know. It's reflexive. But it's also there's stakes. There's the like if you mess up, you don't just like you don't all go home.
Yeah. Which also fits very nicely in the Gold Generation in terms of being a generation that fought in war.
Yeah.
Like the understanding that we're standing up for something. Cool. I like it.
Yeah.
I have a character that I can throw in if you don't
go
mind.
Because
mine is quick and I see you've written a lot.
It's fine. I write a lot.
I want to bring in a character. It's basically just a transplant character from our game.
He's Kingfisher.
He's Kingfisher, yeah. Yay. But Kingfisher is one of the names that's suggested by Masks, and so we don't want to use it because it's going to be in everyone else's game.
Yeah.
And we want to separate as much as possible.
But I really like the character.
He's a fun little character.
Yeah.
And seeing the Kraken, he is an ocean, like someone with basically like Aquaman powers, but he's more of a tech head, just to explain the character. Like he makes
Sona.
Complicated technology for like weapons that shoot.
So whereas the Kraken is literally elemental.
Is elemental, yeah.
This guy is from the sea, has water influence, but does something with tech.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so as he was fighting the Kraken before he was transformed as just like a technology guy that was like, had like a little bit of a Mariner sort of feel to him. And then he became the Crawdad. And now he's an old dude. It's like really nice and supported.
I like the Crawdad.
I really
the
like Crawdad. Him. I think
he's
just
a hero.
He's a hero.
Okay.
Yeah, he was fighting the Kraken. And then like he got like mutated by like getting in with a bunch of chemicals and stuff.
I think I'm just going to save the logo I made for Kingfisher and we're going to use it for him instead because right. it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. So he is. So he's got it.
I like him.
And so now there's the great fun of having like this older guy that's really supportive of the young heroes.
Yeah.
That's the Crawd Dad.
And he's kind of, is he kind of an old guy even when he's a hero? He's like at kind the of an of old guy heroing. Even into the,
yeah, he was he always like grandpa a little jokes. Old fashioned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like really comforting in some sort of weird way. Yeah. Like my character in that game like really digs him. Yeah. He's like somehow
he's super fun.
Wonderfully father
figure. Mostly I wanted to play that character again and show people yeah. that
I just like the voice that comes with it and that you put your hand like.
I
did. Yeah.
I Davy Jones a little bit. Yeah, so he's like real mutated.
And gestures in an audio medium.
I know, it's awful. You're well, probably we'll just going to hear all the feedback on my mic.
We're also playing a game that's like really visual.
So I have an overarching, I guess you were calling them plots, but yeah. I think this yeah. is just like an ongoing thing that kind of goes off of Virgil Lance. So the relocation of supers who do not comply with Falcon rules and the overarching goal of Virgil Lance as director of Falcon is to come up with a system that governs supers so that they don't overtake normals.
Okay.
Because he's very much in a position where he values his power, but mm-hmm. he knows that he is not the most powerful, but he would like to be. But that's complicated when you're a normal among mm-hmm. supers.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're starting to be outnumbered. So he's trying to prevent that by mm-hmm. putting these rules specifically on the modern generation. These rules are starting to be enforced on them as they're growing up and being groomed to be supers. The rules are kind of being pushed into their grooming a little bit.
Okay.
And if they don't comply or they go rogue or something, they will be challenged. And if they just won't back down, they're going to be relocated to some sort of like facility or something.
Yeah.
Are these explicitly the rules that like Protean City is sort of sanctuarying people from?
Yeah. Like
yeah, it, that sounds good.
Yeah, it's like the anti what Protean City is all about yeah. and has been built on, but the people are the what do I want to say? The non-supers that are in government are getting intimidated by the way that so many young people are now being groomed to be heroes and yeah. to be super and to know how that they can affect change on non-supers.
That makes an interesting little contrast between like the Protean City police and when Falcon gets involved. Because then we yeah. can have the Protean yeah. City police that are going like, hey man, Crawdad's a fucking hero.
Yeah.
Right.
Like how dare you say anything against this guy? Because they've saved us more times than you could ever understand.
They're a police force who has grown up around heroes.
Around this, like, yeah. They're probably has a fair amount of heroes.
Yeah.
I think of it sort of like the government in the X-Men world, whereas like
yeah.
for a while they relied on the heroes, but now they're getting intimidated by the fact that yeah. they don't have any control and that these people somehow have a government. They're allowed to make decisions that affect non-humans.
Yeah.
That or non-supers that humans or regulars don't get the chance to make.
Yeah.
Like they have different sets of laws and they're trying to come up with a law set to govern supers.
Sounds great.
Something that I really like that would be a really fun like alter, like secondary story to do yeah. or to dive into is I really like the idea of it that you know in the if people getting superpowers because they're sort of mutation-y like X-Men-y yeah. stuff, then like just sort of definitionally, like there were going to be people who have who have powers, but those powers are not useful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I'm a big fan of X-Men, and so powers that aren't useful,
yeah.
is 100% something
I
love.
And I like the idea that maybe there are people like there are people who are in the police force who like their power is they can just hear a little bit better.
Yeah.
than people, or like they have powers that are like they're definitely like it's the what is the most mundane power that you'd still rather have than not kind of thing. Like they have powers, but they're not useful powers.
Yeah.
But they still want to like, but they still have that like that like
that the thing that, that like
anybody yeah that, yeah that draw to being a police officer that any police officer has.
I also think that there's definitely somebody in Falcon that has that power that's like, I think she's only in X3. She's the one that can like sense the power of other mutants and how dangerous they are. I feel like there's definitely people like that that maybe are resentful of the fact that they are not more supers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And therefore are willing to work for the other team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think also Falcon doesn't view themselves as the bad guys.
No.
No.
They're going like,
they never do.
You're in a metropolitan center. If you do not follow Falcon rules, then you are risking thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. So mm-hmm. move out to a place where you won't hurt people. We won't bother you. Just get out of here.
I think it's, in my mind, I mean, yes, that. And in the X-Men universe, what happens is, and I think in this as well. So if you figure the gold generation was above government, they could make choices for the betterment of humanity that didn't have anybody to govern them. Like yeah. they were able to make unilaterally effective decisions alone.
And Silver in the same sort of way. Like yeah. if Superman decides he wants something to happen,
he's going
to
do
who's
it.
Who's going to stop
him? And then the government will clean up or figure it out mm-hmm. after the fact. So the Bronze Generation, we're getting to the point where, no, you are not above legislation. You can't just make decisions that are going to affect thousands of people, cost yeah. millions of dollars, whatever. So I feel like that's what Falcon is now trying to do, even though that wasn't the purpose
yeah.
originally. And further, they're trying to say, if I as a non-super have rules, you as a super should have rules too.
Absolutely.
It's just that those rules are getting super sketchy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's
so that's us. That's us doing a full round around.
So I was kind of looking at this and just thinking, is there anything from a...
that we're like missing.
Thinking about that, yeah, thinking about how we're going into the game, is there anything we're missing?
We don't have the schools. I don't know if that's something we're going to come up with later.
Well, I think one school that we're looking at is basically like Protean City Public School number 5. Yeah.
And that is an integrated school, like heroes and non-heroes?
I would think so. That's just like
I think that there's very little in Protean City that isn't integrated like that, just because.
So yeah. let's just add it then so we keep it straight.
And we can just kind of decide what number school is.
Oh, pick yeah. a good number.
Because like, because honestly, Protean City is big enough of a city that it doesn't have Protean High.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, also, we could
14.
Could name it like the Richardson Public School or
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It probably has like...
No, but they have the Richardson Auditorium for sure, which
oh,
is
they
like
definitely
the
yeah,
city center.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, remember, it would also be like, when you're in New York City, you don't say New York City Public School number 5. You say PS5. And so we'll probably just choose a number and be like, hey, PS12.
All right. So when was that established? Bronze, silver? When was Protean City? When was Protean City established in the history of supers?
I think it was a small city to yeah. start out. Like in the gold generation, you're looking at like a little tiny city.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to blow up because they were going like, hey, you're welcome here.
Yeah. As people, yeah, somewhere in that somewhere between silver and bronze era where heroes are starting to sort of come out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
And some of the early laws governing what heroes can and can't do are starting to happen. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, well, like this isn't like cool. Let's go over here because yeah. a bunch of people are gathering here.
Absolutely.
Can I do one more?
Yeah.
Because I'm being yeah. greedy.
No, go for it.
What do you want?
Well, it might. I guess it's an organization. I'm thinking just like a part of the city that's the bad part yeah. of town. Because Protean City can't be
yeah,
perfect.
We haven't talked a lot about the city specifically.
Yeah.
At some point, I really would like to get a map together with some districts.
Do we want a... I'm looking at the thing. I'm just seeing. Like we have a fair number of villains spread out.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of have a lot of heroes this way, which is good because it'll be the people who are still around.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of events, but that's fine. We didn't really end up with any supervillain plots, but that's fine too.
My thinking is that this lets me on the first session
mm-hmm.
tell a timeline out loud.
Do we want a... The only other thing I was thinking of is we don't really have a Silver Age hero who is our big like Superman character.
Unless it's Lunar Lens.
Unless it's Lunar Lens.
In my mind, Lunar Lens is like the epitome of what a hero should be.
Okay.
Like she yeah. gets it, she cares, she works hard, she goes out of her way.
Wait, both of our big, huge heroes are flying themed, as is Falcon.
Which is fun.
Crap.
Well, no, no. So that it means Protean City's motto is like the future in flight.
Yeah.
I'm going to write that down.
But yeah, okay, that works. So then I wasn't sure if Lunar Lens was more of a Superman or more of a Batman type character. Yeah. Someone who works sort of in the shadows to do good, or if they're really out there as the beacon of hope.
I think the thing is, at this point in her career, the way I envision her, and this can change, mm-hmm. is like she's trying to do the small work. She's trying to be there for the kids individually. She's trying to raise good people. But if shit goes down, she will go out.
Yeah.
One of the things I like that, I don't know if you intentionally did, but it's something that we did in Masks. I think explicitly the first hero is a woman.
Yeah.
And we did that too. And in fact, our whole like suite of first heroes are all
is women. That's really cool.
Do we want more? I'm just trying to make sure that we hit because we can easily insert other characters.
Yeah.
And some of these characters are kind of like niche characters.
Yeah.
But are there any other big players, like people? Heroes or villains who are characters that are characters as kids in the millennial modern generation would have heard of.
So one thing that's really nice about Masks is that it does a lot of that work for you during character generation as well.
Yeah, I'm not super concerned.
Because what I'm liking about this is it shows how the generations developed. Because mm-hmm. we have this really big dynamic. We have like this gold generation
that's
very much like standing up and doing something, and then we have the silver generation that has some like big powers. Like it has some power characters that are weird. The Kraken is weird. He's controlling water. The Crawdad, needless to say, is weird. Lunar Lens is weird. And then you have a couple of characters in the bronze generation that are very gray.
Yeah.
Like Crackdown is very gray. Yeah. Director Virgil Lance is very gray. Mm-hmm. Munition is a sad, tragic villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have any really standout heroes in bronze. Is that what we said Lunar Lens was going to be?
No. In bronze? I mean,
Crackdown is kind of the closest thing. Well, Crackdown's really the only hero
that we have there. Yeah. But that's okay.
We will get another character because I think. Jess is still leaning towards the protege.
Yeah,
so we'll have a character that she's creating.
Yeah.
She was leaning towards a Batman-y type character.
Cool. I like it.
An investigate-y type character. We talked last one. That was at least as of the last time I talked to her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that could easily be silver or bronze. I mean, like, the gold generation is kind of history.
Yeah.
They are sometimes still around, but like, there's a real good possibility that all three of those people would not. I don't think any of the three of them are putting on tights and going.
Well, that's where I was just like, I wanted to make sure. And we're also much more likely to, through our character creation, create characters who are silver, bronze.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to make sure we had enough bronze of gold foundational characters.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I said at the top of the show, I'll post the text of this game so people can try to play it. I'll probably update it, or maybe I'll release two versions. I'll release the pre-episode version and the post-episode version, so you can kind of see what the game was that we played, and then the game as I've sort of revised it.
Fantastic.
That'll be really interesting for people I'd like to get more feedback. So if you're listening to this on the Stop Hack and Roll feed, go check out the Protean City Comics feed in the show notes. It'll be popping up soon. It'll be up. This will be post. This episode will be posting on that feed as well.
Yeah.
So you don't have to listen to it twice unless you want to get those sweet downloads. and if you're already on the Protean City Comics feed, just stick around in the next week. A whole bunch more content. A wave of content.
Yeah.
So much stuff.
It's a lot of stuff. I'm excited.
So thank you, Elizabeth, for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. This was super fun.
It's been a pleasure. I'm glad to have your voice back on the podcast and as part of this new upcoming project.
Thanks. I'm super excited.
I'm super excited.
And I love both your characters so much. This is going to be so much fun.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
It's going to be a blast.
It's a really fun world.
Yeah. And thank you for sharing this game with us and letting us do it
on
the air
really
for the first time we played.
Yeah.
No pressure there.
I think it might actually be the first time I've ever play tested a game. I've never play tested a game not recorded.
And broadcast online. That's true. You're a true podcaster.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. To follow the rest of the Protean City story, to hear more game hacking and design, follow us on Twitter at Stop Hack and Roll or subscribe to the Stop Hack and Roll podcast. You can find more information about both of our podcasts at stophackandroll.com, All of our podcasts are supported by our patrons over at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Come join our community to talk to Brandon, myself, and the rest of the Protean City cast, and many, many other cool game designers and hackers and lovely people.
All right, so we will catch you later, true believers.